chapter 2. Again, we've been looking at Christian life as we see it in the book of 1 John. We've seen that it's a life of relationship with the Lord. It's a life of fellowship with the Lord, with one another. It's a life of joy, a life of walking in the light, and life of obedience. Here in verse 6, we see that it's a life of abiding in Christ. He that saith, again, we see that same phrase back in verse 4 concerning obedience. And again, we can say anything. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. So the life that we are privileged to live and have the opportunity to live is a life of abiding in Christ. And abiding in Christ is absolutely essential to maturing our relationship with the Lord. Our relationship with God will not grow, not become more mature if we do not abide in Christ. The fellowship that we have with God, abiding in Christ, is essential to our fellowship with God. It's essential to a life of joy. So we see this abiding in Christ is essential to the things that we've covered so far. We're not going to walk in the light unless we abide in Christ. Our degree of obedience depends upon our degree of abiding in Christ. You can't abide in Christ and not be obedient. Obedience and abiding in Christ go hand in hand. So to abide in Christ is one of the conditions. Is one of the conditions absolutely essential to demonstrating what real Christianity is in this world. It is a key to Christ's likeness. We see that here in verse 6. If we abide in Christ, then we ought to walk as he walked. We're to be like him. Abiding in Christ is key to Christ's likeness. That's a problem today. Many try to be like Christ, or they have a desire to be like Christ, but they don't abide in Christ. And you can't be like Christ if you don't abide in Christ. And if you abide in Christ, you can't help but be like Jesus Christ. To abide in Christ is indispensable to being what we ought to be, to doing what we ought to do. So abiding in Christ is something that we are privileged to do. So we want to consider, first of all, the importance of abiding in Christ. Again, it being in Christ, of course, is a prerequisite to abiding in Christ. If we're not in Christ to begin with, then, of course, we cannot abide in Christ. So there has to be a union with Christ. This is prerequisite to abiding in Christ. We have to have this union. This union with Christ is referred to, notice, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Union with Christ is described as being joined unto the Lord. To be joined is to be connected. It's to be fastened, to be attached, to be bound, to be united, to be linked, to be fused with the Lord. That, of course, takes place at salvation. We cannot abide in Christ if we're not saved. We have to first be in Christ before we can abide in Christ. This union in Romans 6 and verse 5 is described as being planted in the likeness of his death. That baptism, of course, is a picture that we have been planted in the likeness of his death. This union with Christ, that's what it is. It's being planted with Christ. And again, this is necessary if we're going to abide with Christ. This union with Christ is the result of the grace and the mercy of the Lord. One cannot be in union with Christ unless they have experienced the grace and mercy of God. We cannot join ourselves to Christ. No lost sinner can just join themselves to Christ. It takes a miracle of grace for God and the sinner to be joined together. Notice in Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 4 we read, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." Quickened together with Christ. That's a union. "By grace, you're saved." That is, it is by grace that we are quickened together with Christ. "And hath raised us up together." Again, together, that's union. "And hath made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." There it is again, the union with Christ. Together in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace, this is the second time we're told this, are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. And that is a definition of grace. For by grace, and not of yourselves. If it is of grace, it cannot be of ourselves. So we see our union with Christ is not of ourselves. It's not something that we can produce. It's not something that we can manufacture. It is by the grace of God, which simply means it is the gift of God. Not of works. That's what grace is. Not of works. It is the gift of God. So in order to abide in Christ, we have to first be in Christ. And we are in Christ by the grace and by the mercy of the Lord. And we're also in Christ by the quickening power, as we've seen here in these verses. We are in Christ by the quickening power of God. We can't put ourselves in Christ. We cannot join ourselves to Christ by our own power. There is no human power that can join a lost sinner with Christ. None. It's not our responsibility to even try to join a lost sinner with Christ. That is a miracle that God and only God can perform. And we should never, ever bring down to the level of man and do away with the miraculous power that is required to cause one to be joined to Jesus Christ. So before we can abide in Christ, we must first make sure that we are in Christ. Now, once we are in Christ, there is a change that takes place. There is a change that takes place. Notice in verse 12 and 13 of Ephesians 2, that at that time you were without Christ. Talking about our unsaved days. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Being without Christ, having no hope. If you're without Christ, you have no hope. And if you're without Christ, you're without God. That is something that every so-called Jehovah's Witness needs to know. That if you're without Christ, you're without Jehovah. If you're without Christ, you are without God. And if they're without God, they cannot be witnesses of Jehovah. And we'll get off of that. Without God in the world. But now, something's changed. We see you were with at that time, but now. There's a change that's taken place. At that time, you were without Christ. But now, in Christ. What a change. Without Christ to in Christ. Now, did we produce the change? No, we've already been told that. It's by grace and not of ourselves. This change is not of ourselves. This is more than people can change certain things about themselves. But people cannot change their state before God, their standing before God. Only God can do that. So we see, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were, again the word were manifests the change has taken place, you were far off, you're now made nigh. And that can only happen in Christ, and we are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So again, if we're going to abide in Christ, we have to first be in Him. We have to be saved. You're wasting your breath to tell a lost sinner that they need to abide in Christ. They cannot do that. They're not in Christ. You have to be in Him before you can abide in Christ. So, without Christ, we are, according to Ephesians 2, we are spiritually dead. We are at enmity with God. We are spiritually restless. We are enslaved to our own corrupt nature. We are enslaved to sin. We are enslaved to Satan outside of Christ. But in Christ, all of that changes. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 11, Christ is all. Christ is all. So if I'm in Christ, I have all. If I'm without Christ, I have nothing. I have nothing. Nothing spiritually. People can be rich in this world's goods, but if they are without Christ, what do they have? Nothing. They don't have anything. They don't have anything that's going to matter. Nothing. They have material blessings, but that's not going to matter. It's not going to matter in eternity. Notice in Ephesians 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All spiritual blessings in Christ. So all spiritual blessings are in Christ. So in order to have these blessings, we have to be in Christ. This is to abide in Christ. That's where the blessings are found. For you and I that are in Christ, we're to abide in Christ. That's where the blessings are found. That's where we enjoy the blessings. In Christ, we see in verse 4 of Ephesians 1 that we are chosen in Christ. We see also, as we read on there in Ephesians chapter 1, that it is in Christ that we are accepted. It is in Christ that we have forgiveness. It is in Christ that we have redemption. It is in Christ that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. It is in Christ that we have hope. It is in Christ that we have an inheritance. It is in Christ that we are made near to God. Every blessing is connected with being in Christ. So the way to live the blessed life is to, for those who are in Christ, to abide in Christ. So what is it? We see in order to abide in Christ, we have to first be in Christ. So what is it to abide in Christ? What does that mean? What does it mean to abide in Christ? Well, to be in Christ, and there is a difference between being in Christ and abiding in Christ. To be in Christ has reference to our standing. It has reference to our position as a child of God. And it's only by the grace of God that we can stand justified before God. That's our standing. Our standing as a child of God is we are justified. We are justified before God. That's our standing. Nothing can change our standing. There's nothing you can do that is going to make you less justified before God. I mean, are there degrees of justification? Of course not. If you're justified, you're justified. Are there degrees of acceptance? No, not when it comes to salvation. You're either accepted or you're not. You're either accepted or you are condemned. And there's nothing you can do. There is nothing you can do that changes your standing or your position. Your standing or position is you are in Christ. There aren't degrees of being in Christ. You're either in Christ or without Christ. So nothing changes our standing. But to abide in Christ, that has reference to our state or our condition as a child of God. That does change. It has to do with our walk. It has to do with the life that we live. It has to do with our conduct before the Lord. So our position before God is that we're saved, we're justified, we are accepted, we are forgiven. Nothing changes that. But our state, the state of a child of God always falls short of perfection. Our state, we're never what we ought to be. Never fully. None of us at one moment in our life are completely what we ought to be. Because in order to be completely what you'd ought to be, you'd have to get rid of this flesh. You'd have to get rid of the fleshly nature. So we always fall short of our state or what we should be. And it can always be improved. It can always get worse also. So it's our condition, which is abiding in Christ, is not the same in every child of God. As far as our position goes, as far as salvation is concerned, we're all equally saved. We're all equally saved. That's our position. But as far as our condition is concerned, there's various degrees here today of the condition that we're in. And as Brother Charlie was saying, one minute you can be in one condition, the very next minute, completely different condition. So to abide in Christ, what is it? Again, it has to do with our state. It has to do with our condition spiritually. To abide in Christ, again, we first have to be in Christ. So to abide in Christ, to abide is to be connected. To abide in Christ is to stay connected. It is staying connected with Christ. It is to continue. It is to continue with Christ. It is to remain with Him. It is to dwell with Him. It is to stay with Him. It is to stay close to Him. It is to be intimate with Christ. That's what it means to abide in Christ. It speaks of fellowship. It speaks of communion with Christ. It is our friendship with Jesus Christ. It is our closeness to Jesus Christ. Our closeness to Christ changes. And abiding in Christ speaks of being close to Christ. It speaks of our harmony with Christ. That is, being in agreement with Jesus Christ. It speaks of our accord with Christ, our communication with Christ. To abide with Christ is to communicate, is to be in communication with Christ. There are many children of God who, though they're saved, they are not in a condition to communicate with the Lord. You have to abide in Christ to be able to communicate with Him. So this abiding in Christ is like fellowship with Christ. It certainly includes a knowledge of Christ, and certainly it includes an experiencing of Jesus Christ. To abide in Christ is to draw from Him. It is to draw from His fullness. And again, in Christ there is a fullness of all the Godhead. We read there in Colossians 2 and verse 9. In Christ there is an inexhaustible supply. John 1 and verse 16, we see that to abide in Him is to receive of that fullness. It is to receive of the blessings of God. It's to feed upon Jesus Christ. The one who abides in Christ is strong. The one who abides in Christ appreciates the blessings of God. The one who abides in Christ realizes how unworthy they are and realizes how blessed they are in the grace of God. It makes all the difference to abide in Christ. Again, in John chapter 15, Christ is the vine. That is, He is efficient. He is everything that we need. And to abide in Christ is realizing that He is everything. He is what I need. And because He is what I need, I am not going to withdraw from Him. I'm going to get as close to Christ as I can possibly get. That's what it means to abide in Christ. It means to have our life regulated by the Word of God. Notice in closing in John chapter 15 and verse 7. If ye abide in Me, and My words abide in you. The two go hand in hand. When we abide in Christ, the words of Christ abide in us. There is a connection between the Word of God and abiding in Christ. And when the words of God abide in us, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Why? Because you will ask according to the will of God. The way to know the will of God is to abide in Christ. The way to pray in the will of God is to abide in Christ. And it's praying in the will of God that we find answers to our praying. So this is of the utmost importance, that we abide in Christ. That is our privilege, that is our opportunity in this life to abide in Christ. This is not something that we have to wait for. This is something that we can do right now. We can abide in Christ. So God help us to do that. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly